Oh, we're not that ambitious. Yeah, we emailed out yesterday. I'm not sure if we're going to do that, but we wanted to do something where to get the first years and second years together just to kind of see each other, hang out, things like that. So on Saturday at King's Hardware, it's in Ballard. We're going to get together. They have food, drinks. I've been told there's ski ball there.
Free for them?
Oh,
you tell us, yeah, first years, well, they are crouching and they have just came from other cities and they're starving. I hope you take no offense.
Okay. Yeah. Starving. It was starving second year.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, so it's 7 o'clock. Just, it's in your email, so if you check it. And hopefully we'll see you there.
All right, you guys. Nice seeing you. Okay. Okay. Okay, all right. Finish up. Let's finish at the lower limb, you know, outline, and that means where we are going to finish up here. As you look at here on the outline, thank you for shutting that door. Thank you. Okay, good. We have come right up to the nerves. We have done the muscles, the arteries, the veins, the lymphoids, the lymphatics, and now we are going to look at the nerves. Okay, as we come to look at the nerves, as we're going to come, I'll be with you in 1 second. I'm going to look at the nerves. I need Brian to deal with it as I'm going to not take my time. Okay. Okay.
Jonathan, Brian, Garrett, anybody. I need one of you to come down.
Okay, so when we come to look at the nerves, you know a few things about the nerves from perhaps, you know, reading from the introductory pages and things like that. And in the lower limb, what do we have? We have cutaneous innervation, and we have innervation to the joints, innervation to the muscles. So we have different types of innervation. What is innervation to begin with? What is innervation? What do you understand when I say innervation, or somebody says innervation? Are you getting the spelling also right? Because spelling is very important for a physician to know. Okay? Innervation. Innervation. What does that mean, innervation? Nerve supply. Nerve supply. Instead of saying nerve supply, you know, it's easy to say innervation. So most of us will be using that term, innervation to this muscle, innervation to that skin, and whatnot. Okay? And so most of the cutaneous innervation, so cutaneous innervation is going to, or coming from where? Cutaneous. Subcutaneous. What? Cutaneous means what?
Skin.
skin innovation. So if you're talking about the cutaneous innovation, what type of impulses or nerve fibers are we talking about? Cutaneous innovation. What type of nerve impulses or nerve fibers are we talking about? Sensory. Touch, pressure, temperature, cold, whatever else. So it's cutaneous innovation. That means from the skin, you know, you are conducting that sensory impulses from the skin. That is cutaneous innovation, okay? So most of the cutaneous nerves in the lower extremity are branches of the lumbar and sacral plexuses. What is a plexus? Can anyone define a nerve plexus? Here is the nerve plexus. So can you define it? So a nerve plexus is, because we also have other plexuses, remember? When a nerve plexus is a network of nerve fibers or axons, that is a plexus, okay? So when we talk about, you know, nerves, we will have lots of plexuses. We have brachial plexus, lumbar plexus, cervical plexus, sacral plexus, so many plexuses in the body, okay? So all those plexuses, what do we have? We have, you know, a network of, you know, nerve fibers. And so when in the lower extremity, what we're going to look at are the nerves that are innervating in the lower extremity. Namely, now let me hear, what nerves do you think we are going to be looking at when we are talking about, some of you may have please pass it to everybody there, and so here please pass it, and please pass it, and so what nerves have you come across in your dissection? What have you seen in your dissection? Okay, good. Here, no, you finish your breakfast and so there. Okay, here. So here. All right, and I have to call in the dean of something. Can you do me a favor? Can you call 386 or one of the company services numbers, 3183 maybe, and tell them the computer here is not working. I left a message and nobody has come down. Okay. So, Rolly, what nerve have you found in the dissection lab? You're not in this course? In this quarter. Oh, you're just coming to listen to me? That way? Oh, okay. But you should still know. Sciatic nerve. Yeah, they might have come across sciatic nerve. And, anybody? Spinal nerve. All of you need here. Okay, yeah. Which is coming around. Hey guys, you have a packet sitting someplace, please hand it back to me. Any more than one? You don't need any more than one. Okay, there. Anybody here? You want one? Okay, thanks. All right, good. Okay, who doesn't have it? You all have it. Let's go and see these nerves. Oh, okay, so now I have not. Sarah, you have one?
Yeah.
Good, okay. All right, so I have some extras if you want. Now, let's go and see. So what you find, distribution of the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. From that name, distribution, what do you understand when I say distribution? Distribution.
where is it supplying?
Where it is supplying, what structures it is supplying. So from now on, I don't have to, you know, explain it as the distribution. What is the distribution of the femoral nerve? Or define the distribution of the femoral nerve. Or describe the distribution of the femoral nerve, okay? So that is how, you know, I would be, you know, talking about. So distribution of the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. So where do you expect that nerve to go to? Lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. The lateral aspect of the thigh. The lateral aspect of the thigh. Lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. You have seen that lateral, yeah. Whoever. Okay, good. And so you expect that to see, what do you think it is? Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Yeah, someone down the other. And it has, it's not going any place, and I mean. Okay, good. And so, lateral femoral cutaneous nerve is a branch of what? Because what major nerve do you have in the anterior thigh? Femoral nerve. So lateral femoral cutaneous nerve, would you expect that lateral femoral cutaneous nerve to be a branch of the femoral nerve? Would you?
Yes.
Yeah, because that is what we have. Where's Brian? You should interrupt him. Yeah, because a class is more important than a meeting. Okay, good, good. So here, let's go to this diagram. So here we have, look at this. This is, I can put it on top. Okay, let's go here. Good. Here is the femoral nerve. Please turn to your coloring packet if you are interested in coloring. It's not just for children, for us also, for adults also. Coloring helps because you are doing it with your hand. Remember active learning, you know, 2 days you spend looking at active learning? This is a little part of that active learning, your femoral nerve. Okay, located in the front of the thigh. And now, from which part of the spinal cord is coming? That's very important for you to know. Then you know when this nerve is growing and innervating a lot of muscles in the front of the thigh, if there's something wrong with that muscle, which segment of the spinal cord is not working, you can figure that out, okay? So femoral nerve, what is this here, 2, 3, and 4? What do you think is here, 2, 3, and 4? Spinal roots, that are forming, you know, the femoral nerve. So when you say spinal roots, this is how you can also say it. This is how you can say it. Any nerve, when you are asking for the spinal roots, you can say the ventral, primary, rami. What does this rami mean? Rami. Ramus is singular. Branch. Oh, good, good, good. Okay, branch. Okay. Branches actually. Ventral primary rami of L2, L3, and L4. So the femoral nerve is formed by the ventral primary rami of L2, L3, L4. That is the perfect answer for, you know, that what is forming. What are the forming structures of this nerve? Okay, that's a perfect answer. But for short form, people will say, spinal roots, L2, L3, L4. When they say that, you need to know this is what they are talking about. Okay? Ventral primary rami of. Here. Again, it goes back. I need to go back and forth with this. Yeah. I need the lower limb. I need the lower limb. And so that is the formation. So then, that means when you're looking at the branches coming from, you know, the femoral nerve, one of the branches of the femoral nerve is a lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. And it's not shown because on this diagram, because this was specifically for, you know, the muscles. So it will be coming out about here. This is the ASIS, anterior superior spine, and it will be coming out like that. You might have seen it in this section, haven't you? Lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. Have you or have you not? You have, okay? If you have it, you will sometime. So it comes down like that. It goes to the lateral aspect and lateral femoral. That is the lateral femoral, you know, cutaneous nerve, a branch of the femoral. But, you know, buried in the name, it tells you what type of a nerve it is. Lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. So if I ask you a question, it's not an unfair question, what type of nerve impulses are conducted by this structure? In the dissection lab, what type of impulses are conducted by this structure? What would be your answer? Sensory impulses are conducted. And from the lateral aspect of the thigh, lateral femoral cutaneous. So this is the kind of information that you should apply when we come to look at other cutaneous nerves. The same information you can apply, okay? So you are not memorizing for every which nerve that you are coming across. So that is the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve, its distribution, and where, you know, it is supplying, from where it is, you know, coming. That is the lateral femoral cutaneous, and then distribution of the anterior femoral cutaneous. Anterior femoral is also anterior femoral. There are several of branches of the anterior femoral. Good, you're getting there. And so here you can see that several of them coming. And so that will be, this is the thigh. And so here it's going like that, that's the thigh. So this is the anterior part right here. Right over here, this is the medial thigh, this is lateral aspect. There are several, you know, branches, anterior femoral cutaneous, several of them coming to the anterior part of the thigh, again, from, you know, the femoral nerve, okay? And then when you look at the saphenous nerve, have you seen the saphenous nerve?
Yes.
Saphenous nerve, how would you describe the saphenous nerve to anyone? What would you say that you know about the saphenous nerve? Saphenous nerve, what do you know about the saphenous nerve? What type of a nerve is it, or what type of nerve impulses are conducted by the saphenous nerve? So that means what is its distribution? Saphenous nerve, you've seen it in this section.
Yes.
Sensory impulses, and what else? It's the longest branch of the femoral nerve. It's the longest branch of the femoral nerve. And from where is it conducting nerve impulses? It is conducting from the medial here. If we have, you know, the leg here, let me see, Amy Fitzpatrick, can you please help me? Yeah. You will learn it. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Take your time. Don't throw your things up. Yeah, hold it. Okay, Amy, hold it, please. Hold it high like that. Yes. Come on. Okay, good. All right. Now, turn around so they can all see you. Good. So now we have the, this is about where you have seen that, this is the upper extremity. Okay. You can't? Okay, so I will just go on. Oh, there's one of them I can use. I think you should. I'm just sure. Okay.
I'm tired.
I hope you can get back. But here, okay? And see if you can get back. So from about here, you have the great sadness nerve coming down here like that. You've seen it, and it comes around here. So all this medial aspect of the leg, and you know this part of the leg, not high up, it's part of the leg. You have, and also it comes around, gives some branches here like that. So if it's a cutaneous nerve, and if it's a cutaneous nerve from what part? You've seen the part, its distribution, medial aspect of the foot, medial aspect of the leg, and also a little bit, you know, around what you call the knee joint. Cutaneous innervation is conducted by, you know, the saphenous nerve. And when you look at the saphenous nerve, in where did you see it? In which canal or in which, where did you see that? That's the canal. So it is coming out and it's passing in the adductor canal, but it exits, it doesn't go through. It doesn't go through the posterior aspect, it exits, okay? Now, so we have done the cutaneous innervation to this region. That means, you know, the distribution innervation great, thank you, yeah. It's also a good break for you from the meetings, you know. And so here you have happiness. Now, innervation of, you know, to the muscles by the femoral nerve is what you're going to look at here, okay? Innervation of the muscles. This diagram, especially this diagram, is going to be so useful for you because when you are drawing it like that, you can see it is going to what all muscles is it supplying. See here. Femoral nerve, now you know the spinal cord. All these little branches coming, and you can see where it is going. No, but there's no, you see, it even goes to the pectineus muscle here, alright? Each and every one of them is, all the muscles are beautifully listed. And even it shows you where the inguinal ligament is, where it is coming, see? The anatomical landmarks. So now you know everything about all these muscles that are even articularis genus is receiving. Look at them. Is this memorization or is this understanding and knowing what the femoral nerve is doing? Where is it located? What branches is it giving? And so it has cutaneous branches, and what would you say it has? It's innervating all these muscles. So what would you say it is, what would you call it when it's innervating the muscles? Muscular branches. So it has cutaneous branches, it has muscular branches. Has it got articular branches? And what do you understand when we say articular branches? Does it have articular branches? Articular. Yes or no? Yes. Articular branches. Articular here. Articular branches. Meaning to what structures? The joints. So hip joint, it innervates the hip joint, remember? And it innervates also the knee joint as we come to look at. Okay, so that is the femoral nerve. Okay, now let's move on to, okay, I have looked at the innervation of the muscles in the anterior thigh, femoral nerve location and course is also included in there, and let's move on to the next thing in the outline there. The formation I've already gone over, ventral primary rami, you can fill it in for yourself, and the formation of the spinal nerve is given there, and let me see, relationship, you know, to the femoral sheath, femoral artery, and femoral vein. So, what what is the relationship of the femoral nerve to the femoral sheath? From your readings, can anyone tell me? Is it in the lateral compartment? Is it in the femoral sheath or outside the femoral sheath? Outside the femoral sheath. And of course, now you know, I know you know the relationships also. Femoral artery is medial to it. And so that, and of course then the femoral vein is also medial to it. Okay. And But then now we have done the innervation in the anterior compartment of the thigh. Now in the medial compartment of the thigh, which nerve would you assign to the medial compartment of the thigh? The obturator nerve. And when we look, when you look at the obturator nerve, you would find, I don't have to spend too much time because I've already gone over a whole lot of these things. Location, course, the spinal roots forming the obturator nerve. What spinal roots form the obturator nerve? Same L2, 3, 4. Both of them, because the femoral nerve and the obturator nerve, both of them come from the same lumbar plexus. Both of them are branches of the same lumbar, plexus. And so you know the spinal root already. Now distribution. Distribution of, here is the obturator nerve. Look at its course and from where it is coming. And as you look at it, it is passing, exiting the pelvis, but it has a little different, route it is taking. And look at this little hole here. What is this hole here? Obturator foramen. First it gets into the obturator canal in the pelvis, and then it travels in the obturator canal, and then it exits the obturator foramen, and comes out, and here, look at it, it's also giving a branch of the peritoneum. Remember that? You may remember that. Obturator externus and all the adductor muscles, and adductor longus gracilis, and adductor magnus. Which part of the adductor magnus? All of it? The adductor magnus? No, only the adductor part. Only the adductor part. And the obturator externus. Obturator externus is also receiving innervation from the obturator nerve. So, but how would you classify the obturator externus muscle? It is a lateral rotator. Where are the other lateral rotators located? In the gluteal region. But this one is a lateral rotator, but it is receiving obturator innervation from the obturator nerve. Why do you think that is the case? That it is receiving from the obturator nerve? Because of the location. Because it's located in front, close to the adductor muscles. That is the reason the author has also included the obturator externus muscle in the same table where they have included the adductor muscles. Just because of the location and not because of the function. Okay? And so that is the distribution of the obturator nerve also has, a little bit of a cutaneous innervation to the medial aspect of the thigh, slightly above the knee joint, there's a little patch. It also gives. Okay, now the accessory obturator nerve. Accessory obturator nerve is not always present in everyone. When it is present, it could be formed either by venular primary rami of L3 and L4 or L2 and L3. Either. So it can be L3 and L4 or L2 and L3. Okay, and so accessory obturator nerve does supply some of the muscles when it is present. It also gives some of the adductor muscles and pectineus if it is present. And then we come to the gluteal region. When we come to the gluteal region, and the nerves that we have, the two nerves we have there, are the superior gluteal and the inferior gluteal nerves. Okay? And from this here, you can see the superior gluteal and the inferior gluteal nerves are branches of with plexus, with plexus, with nerve plexus. Sacral nerve plexus, okay? So the superior gluteal nerve and the inferior gluteal nerve. From the sacral plexus, we have, you know, here we have, of course, the sciatic nerve, and we have a whole lot of others, but we will be studying the lumbar plexus, the sacral plexus, the brachial plexus, all these plexuses separately also. We'll take you through the plexuses separately, okay, at different times. But right now, I mentioned the sacral plexus as I move on. So I'm not spending much time, so you don't have to be really going and spending a lot of time, you know, figuring out. Okay, so that we will come to the sacral plexus and lumbar plexus later. Now we see these branches in these areas that we have dissected, so we're going over those, okay? And so when you look at, to find the superior gluteal and inferior gluteal nerve, great. Okay, great. Thank you, Brian. With our meeting you are in, this is more important. Thanks. Great. Yeah. See, he agreed with me. Great. Okay, now this is the class. I need to go here. This is not what, okay. Image view, alright. Okay, I need. Okay, now superior gluteal and inferior gluteal nerve, you know a little bit about the superior gluteal and the inferior gluteal nerves. Alright, how about it here? Let's go here, okay. Here we have, okay. Okay, here we have the femoral nerve, even though we have gone over it, but I just wanted you to see the branching pattern and from where it's coming. So here we have the lumbar plexus, L1, L2, L3, L4. From there, here we have a number of branches. This is your lateral femoral cutaneous, L2, L3, femoral nerve, and here we have, you know, the arcuate nerve that will be coming out here, and you can see all the branches of the femoral nerve. So you know when you're studying which diagram you will be looking at. And so then let's go and look at the obturator nerve. I know I've done it, but I just want to go over this also so you know. Okay, here you can see the obturator nerve coming out, dividing. You have seen it already in this section. This is coming down. This is the part where it gives cutaneous innervation. That's the obturator. Now let's move on to here, to the gluteal region here. In the gluteal region, you have, we are the greater sciatic foramen, you have the sciatic nerve coming out. You also have, you know, the another nerve, posterior cutaneous nerve coming out. And so, the sciatic nerve is a branch of the largest and the longest branch of your sacral plexus. So that is where we are right now. So that sciatic nerve, when it comes, the spinal roots, L4, 5, S1, 2, 3, the spinal ventral primary rami of L4, 5, S1, 2, 3 is forming the sciatic nerve. Now that sciatic nerve comes as you look in the posterior thigh, it gives some branches there. You can see, you know, it gives some branches, and then just before coming to the popliteal fossa, it divides into a common fibula and a tibial, and a tibial nerve. Here's the tibial nerve, here's the common fibula nerve, okay? And so that is what you're seeing here in this diagram. And so here you can see, this is in green color. So this is the common fibula, okay? And so here, and this one in red color is your tibial nerve. So here you can see the spinal roots are also given here. that we will be picking up these nerves later. That's why I'm not coloring it right now. But here in the gluteal region, here you have superior gluteal nerve and going to tensor fasciae latae muscle and the gluteus medius, gluteus minimus, and you have inferior gluteal nerve here. See here? Inferior gluteal is going to the gluteus maximus. And when you look at spinal roots, superior gluteal, spinal roots L4, superior gluteal, let me put it here, separate it. Superior gluteal here, you have L4, 5, and S1, that is the superior gluteal. Inferior gluteal here, L5, S1, S2. You may remember my saying in class, this is why when sometimes when people give partial spinal roots and expect credits, you know, we are very reluctant to give it because it's a different nerve that you're giving the spinal roots off, okay? So you have to be, you know, specific about it. And then I also want to add one more word here about the spelling and the usage of tensor fasciae latae. Now, tensor fasciae latae is a muscle. Tensor fasciae latae muscle. Tensor fasciae latae muscle. Because we also have what is called fascia lata. We also have fascia lata. What is fascia lata? What is fascia lata?
Deep fascia of the thigh.
So fascia lata is the deep fascia of the thigh. And I'm sure you guys know this, but when you answer us, when you tell us or write it, you have to differentiate. Specifically this one, see, fascia lata is the deep fascia of the thigh, which is not here, but this is where it will be, fascia lata. But this, the muscle that inserts into the, you know, the, what do you call, the iliotibial tract, that is a muscle. That muscle is referred to as tensor of fasciae latae or tensor fasciae latae muscle. So it has to be specific. The spelling is different. And the tensor is there. And the muscle is there. But fascia lata is the fascia of the deep fascia of the thigh. And as you look at it here, you can see both. So here, see the fascia lata? So here you have the fascia lata. Tensor fasciae latae muscle. That is here. That is a small muscle here. So make sure you're not making, you know, that mistake when we are going over, you know, some stuff. And then you say, well, you know, I know it. Well, I'm sure you know it, but we can only go with what you are, you know, writing down, okay? And so then we have the inferior gluteal, the distribution I have got, sciatic nerve, relationship to the piriformis muscle, sciatic nerve, you already know it is exiting the pelvis via the which foramen? The greater sciatic foramen. The sciatic nerve exits the pelvis via the very sciatic foramen and, you know, it is, you know, coming below the piriformis muscle. And so it's a relationship you already know. I know we have gone over this in class sometime, but I'm reinforcing it again because, you know, sometimes it helps to hear over and over again, you know, some of these things. And so here we have, let's look at sciatic nerve is formed by what? L4, 5, F1, 2, 3, ventral primary rami. So you can fill it in there. And distribution, we will take this sciatic nerve. That means it is dividing into, you know, the tibial and the common fibula. And it has few branches that it gives, you know, from the tibial, you know, to the hamstring muscles. And the hamstring muscle, the extensor part of the hamstring muscle is receiving from the tibial division of the sciatic nerve, and specifically what spinal nerve root? L4. And posterior cutaneous nerve of the thigh. Here, let's also take a look at, because we are finishing up the nerves, you know, in the thigh region here. So when you look at the posterior cutaneous nerve of the thigh, posterior cutaneous nerve of the thigh is right here, okay? Oh, okay. It shows all, you know, the nerve endings that are coming down here. So you can see the branches of the posterior cutaneous nerve of the thigh. So here you can see these are all cutaneous branches that are coming from the posterior cutaneous nerve. There is a blue patch, some place here that should be showing the posterior cutaneous nerve, but that is the area where the posterior cutaneous nerve is innervating. And again, when you're looking at writing, this is the areas, you see, little bit of the lower part of the buttock here and the posterior thigh, not the entire posterior thigh. Look how this is coming also right down over on, even going past the popliteal fossa. You know, the cutaneous innervation is conducted via your posterior, you know, cutaneous nerve of the thigh. You can either say posterior cutaneous nerve of the thigh or posterior femoral cutaneous nerve. So that thigh or femoral has to be there and posterior has to be there. And so when you look at the posterior femoral cutaneous nerve of the thigh, what would be the spinal roots? What would you assign? It is a branch of the sciatic nerve, and no, not sciatic nerve, it's a branch of the sacral plexus. So what spinal roots would you assign? S1, S2, and S3. S1, 2, 3, so you can fill it in there. And then the nerve that we see, that what we don't see any distribution for, is the pudendal nerve. The pudendal nerve, you know, is coming down, you know, here. Pudendal exiting the pelvis through what? Pudendal exiting the pelvis through what? Greater or lesser? Both. Exiting, she's correct. She's totally correct. Vashali. Okay, and so that is exiting the pelvis via the, what is called your greater sciatic foramen, and re-entering the pelvis. So, but since you gave two, I was happy. And so re-entering the pelvis through the lesser sciatic foramen to go to the perineum, to go to the pudendum. Remember I said the same thing the other day? You may not remember, that's why I'm just going over it now. Here is the pudendal nerve. Here is the pudendal nerve. So let's take all this off here so you can... Okay, so here you can see now all these by themselves without... So here is the pudendal nerve. Okay, see here is the greater sciatic foramen. It exits, and you can see then it re-enters to go, you know, to the perineum. It re-enters and goes on the side of the pelvis, like right over here. See here is the greater sciatic foramen. Okay, and so when it comes out like that, you know, about here, now you're seeing it in the dissection lab. Now you see it, and then it curves and comes back in here and stays along here. Stays along here, that means, you know, along the side here, you see? From here, it is staying along the side, and you will see it again about here. When you do the perineum, when you have the, you know, the cadaver in the lithotomy position, you will see that pudendal nerve about here. You will see it about here. In deep dissection, you will be able to see. what have you heard about the pudendal nerve? Just like that, I'm sure a lot of you have heard. Pudendal block, pudendal block, pudendal block. So when they anesthetize, you know, for childbirth and then, you know, whatever else, the physiotomy, stitching, whatever else. And so that is the nerve that they put a needle in here, you know, so they can put some anesthesia there, and that is where, you know, you would do the pudendal block, because that is the nerve that comes for the perineum here. We'll pick up that nerve. Sarah, do you want to add something? No, the distribution I'm not going to go over now, because the distribution of the pudendal nerve is in the perineum, and we'll do the distribution of the pudendal nerve when we do the perineum, not now. Now, because you see it in this section, that's why people ask questions off of the pudendal nerve. That means its spinal roots, what spinal roots are forming the pudendal nerve, and what here, but foramen through which it exits, and so it, you don't see the distribution now at all, but only you see the nerve. Okay? And so that is the pudendal nerve. Now remember, there is no internal pudendal nerve. There's no internal pudendal nerve. What internal pudendal do you have? What? Huh? Artery and vein. Internal pudendal artery and internal pudendal vein and a pudendal nerve okay, and so these are little things. There's no picky. No, they're not picky. What it is that there is a different structure. The different structure, that is the reason. Alright, and so then we move on to the pudendal here we have gone. What's the spinal root of the pudendal nerve? Did we go over it? What's the spinal root? S2, 3, 4. Okay? And the sacrospinous ligament, piriformis muscle. You've seen the sacrospinous, you know from where it's coming, piriformis muscle. And innervation to the piriformis muscle. What is innervating the piriformis muscle? If you have a question, what would be your answer about the piriformis muscle? What is innervating the piriformis muscle? Piriformis muscle receives innervation from the ventral primary rami of spinal roots S1 and S2. S1 and S2. That is the innervation. Okay, now, fascia of the lower limb, superficial fascia, deep fascia, you know, and we have just gone over the fascia lata. Fascia lata is very funny. That is the deep fascia of the lower extremity. It's the same deep fascia that continues all the way like a stocking, you know, for the entire lower extremity. But that deep fascia has different names in different places. In the thigh, it is the fascia lata. Okay? In the leg, when we come in the leg, it has different name. It has, at that time, we will go over that. It is called the crural, you know, fascia. So, I'm not going to dwell on the fascia, the fascia of the lower extremity. And but what is iliotibial tract? Iliotibial tract, because you know it does some things here. What would be your answer if somebody asks you to define? What would be your answer of the iliotibial tract? How will you define? By the way, during the retreat, I wanted to go over some of these things, but I didn't get around to doing it. That is, when I ask you to describe something, what would you understand and what would you do? How would you describe the iliotibial tract? How would you describe it? Or how would you describe anything? Give me a format.
Where it innervates.
If you're talking about it, you say, what is it?
First, what is it? Okay? So let's take neurotibial tract. So then, midterm exam, I can ask you those things, I mean, questions. Describe something. In the fill in the blanks, describe something. If I ask you to describe the iliotibial tract, you have to tell me what is it. So what is the iliotibial tract? It's the condensation or thickening of the artia lata, extending from where to where. That is where Mary Allison was going. Extending where from. You can see the iliac crest. To where is it going here? What is this bone here? Yeah, the lateral condyle of the femur. I mean of the tibia. Lateral condyle of the tibia. So extending from the iliac crest to the lateral condyle of the tibia. Okay, and you can function because it's a description. You're giving a description. You said, what is it? Where is it? And, you know, the function of it. What does it do? It gives muscle attachments and, you know, it connects the hip bones and this one together. That means it's extending. So that's the function. So when I'm asking you or anybody is asking you, you know, to describe something, you need to, you know, give this, not just only what it does or something like that. Define something. What is it? That is all. Define. Iliotibial tract. Thickening on the lateral or thickening of the fascia lata. Thickening of the fascia lata on the lateral aspect. On the lateral aspect. From the name it tells you also iliotibial tract. Iliotibial tract. And describe, explain, discuss, all the same. Define means tell us what is it, okay? So now I will not be explaining that any other time. The tensor fascia lata that I have gone over there and enough time I spent. Fossa ovalis. What is fossa ovalis? What do you know about fossa ovalis? Where have you heard about the fossa ovalis? What structure would you associate with the fossa ovalis? Where is it? In which part of the thigh is the fossa ovalis? Anybody? Yeah, it is an oval opening where the femoral triangle. And what structure would you associate the fossa ovalis with? Great saphenous vein. Because you've seen that the great saphenous vein here, right over here when you go, alright, the veins, okay, here. Okay, that's here, this way. Alright, as you look at it here, we have gone over the same diagram the other day, but just finishing text right here, here is the fossa ovalis or the saphenous opening right here. And the cribriform plate or cribriform fascia, that is at the mouth here. And let me see. So that is the fossa ovalis and cribriform fascia or the plate at the opening there. And crura fascia, where we will find the deep fascia, is differently named as one over there. That brings me to the adductor canal. The adductor canal, you already know, you have to tell me, what are the contents of the adductor canal? What are the contents of the adductor canal? Because say somebody has a stab wound affecting or damaging, injuring all the structures in the adductor canal. What structures are damaged? Tell me. Okay, see? The femoral artery, you're looking at it from the femoral side, femoral artery, femoral vein, and what else? Great saphenous, saphenous nerve, and anything else? Nerve to vastus medialis is also found in the, Wait a minute. Nerve to vastus medialis is also found in the adductor canal. Nerve to vastus medialis. That a lot of times people forget that. That is why I'm going over, you know, that, you know, it is important. And that's it. Femoral artery, femoral vein, saphenous nerve, and, you know, nerve to vastus, you know, medialis. Boundaries of it, you can look up in the textbook. You can really, only you have to look in the atlas, and that shows you the boundaries there. And you also know it's known by three different names. The adductor canal is known by three different names. Why am I subjecting you to all this? Because some people may say the adductor canal. Some people may say the Hunter's canal. Some people may say the subsectorial canal. That is why I'm stating this. So you know which canal it is. And they are all the same. And you can, you know, also see that. Now the next and almost the last, I think, there's two more things. Item there is the femoral triangle or the scarpus. Now look at this other name here. Some of the second year professors are used to using scarpus triangle, and he may use only the name scarpus triangle. He may not state even femoral triangle. But since you're studying anatomy, paying a lot of money, you need to know that the femoral triangle is the same as the scarpus triangle. It's the same as the scarpus triangle, and I'm not going to go over anything about the femoral triangle. The reason is you have all done a homework on the femoral triangle, and so I don't have to do that in class. Now here, subinguinal region. That means this region here, subinguinal region. The subinguinal region is an important area. Why do you think it's an important area? This region here is an important area. Why do you think it's an important area? Because of structures coming down into the thigh from the pelvis, and some structures are going into the pelvis from the thigh. So this area is through which you would have the femoral, you know, vein traveling into the pelvis and becoming the external iliac vein, you know, right superior to the inguinal ligament. And lymph vessels also go up, and of course then the femoral artery, you know, is coming down, and then of course the femoral nerve and few other structures. So the subinguinal region is important, you know, for, because it is the area through which structures are coming into the thigh and going back into the pelvis. But there's also a few little things here. I don't worry too much about this compartmentalization. Since the book has it, I also have lacuna, this lacuna, that. What is lacuna anyways? What is a lacuna? A compartment, that's all it is. So you don't have to memorize lacuna musculorum. If you just look at this diagram that I'm going to cover with you, and you also have, no you don't have. Some of you have, some of you don't. And so here you have, can you please pass this? That's a single sheet, that's only a single sheet, okay? And so please pass it. And that single sheet, let's cover that single sheet. There you can see the subinguinal region. There are several there because it's a single sheet. Please pass it quickly so that you hear. Some of you may have this diagram. If you have the diagram, just don't take one. You have a diagram from before or in the, there are two. The notes that you printed out, the notes that you have printed out from my BU, Vicky, something like that, that has it. So if you have it, use it. Is that the notes that you printed out? It doesn't have it? Okay, then take it. So here, Okay, here. There are two. So you can give one there. Okay, there are a few more, Let me go behind Brendan here. And so Brendan, please pass it fast, quick. Okay. Two, three, here. Looking out for good friends. Good, that is good. You have more than two? Okay, yes. Two here? Okay, good. Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right, you can give me no. You want it? Okay, now it is. Yeah. Okay, you have it? You have it. I know some people have it. You don't have it, baby? Give one to me also. Nathan? There are two. There are several there. Okay. Oh, you have it. Tell me something I didn't hear. Slow down a bit. Okay. Okay, then I'll have to just take only three or four things and the rest you have to read, because I can't just be sitting, standing on this outline 2 weeks. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll slow down and then some areas I'll ask you to read. How is that? Okay, I have still lots left. Anybody? Okay, now do you need one, Rolly? No? Okay. So I still have some left. Okay, so I have to slow down. I appreciate that you can't keep up. That is fine. I will do that. I'll slow down. Okay, then let's have the agreement that I can do this. Okay, now let me get my currency here. So that way you have the same thing here. Okay. Good. Okay. Okay, here I have the same diagram that you have. And let's go over here. Good. This simple sheet is so handy. I can just put it there. Good, good, good. And you can see that I didn't wash off the anterior superior iliacs fine. It's already there. So that means the pubic tubercle is here. That means this is your, what? What is this? Inguinal ligament. That's your inguinal ligament. And then, laterally, let's look at it here. Laterally, here you have the muscle. And look at the iliacus muscle here. And so here is the muscle here. And then, as you look over here, the muscle is going there. Look at the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. I'm going to put that cutaneous nerve or the nerve in green color. Okay, that is good. See, that's the lateral. This one here. The lateral femoral cutaneous nerve here. And then look at the femoral nerve here. Okay, and its branches coming down and all that. And look at the femoral artery. Here is the femoral artery. You've seen it. Now once you draw it, then you already know it. You don't have to memorize it. And so here is your femoral vein. Okay, all these things you know, the femoral artery, the femoral vein, where is it located and all that you know. But you may not know something here that I need to take you through. This here, the most medial compartment or the most medial part of the femoral sheath here has, you know, an opening here called the femoral canal. What are the contents of the femoral canal? What is the clinical significance of the femoral canal that you can think of? And so, what is the femoral canal? what does it contain? What is the clinical significance? Femoral canal, yeah? Femoral canal. From your readings, do you remember? No? Femoral hernia. Femoral canal, femoral hernia. That's the clinical significance. Femoral canal, femoral hernia. Femoral hernia is more, you know, you can expect to see femoral hernia more often in which gender, male or female? Female, female. Why? Why did you say female? Wider pelvis, generally speaking, wider pelvis, that means wider femoral canal. Wider pelvis, wider femoral canal. Okay? And that is, and then what does it contain, femoral canal? What does it contain? There is no artery, we didn't see any artery there. What do you think is there, femoral canal? If nothing is there, you know, air goes there, but there isn't much of that. But so what is there if nothing is there? Fat, you can put fat in any place there, you know. So there is some fat, and what else would you put there? Yeah, yeah. Lymph nodes, some lymph nodes, some one or two lymph nodes you may find, okay? And if lymph nodes are there, what else would you put there? Lymph nodes are then, do nodes sit by themselves? No, what do they have? Lymph vessels, because lymph vessels are filling the lymph to the lymph nodes. So you have some lymph nodes there, you have fat there, and you have, you know, some lymph vessels there. And let me ask you one more thing. Why are they sitting in that place there? What is the purpose? Why are they sitting there? One or two deep lymph nodes are sitting there. What would be the purpose? To drain, and so they can send their, you know, lymph vessels from those nodes into the pelvis, because that is, you know, to where it is, you know, going, okay? And so then, you also see that into the abdomen, that means into the pelvic cavity, because abdominal pelvic cavity. So into the abdomen, this femoral canal has an opening, a mouth. You know, this femoral canal is not just the little canal sitting there. It has, you know, a mouth that is opening into the abdominal pelvic cavity. So that is what you would call the femoral ring. Here, the femoral ring. So the femoral ring is opening into the abdominal pelvic cavity, that means into the pelvic cavity. That means there is a serous membrane that's right in front of it. You may remember, what serous membrane do we have in the abdomen? Peritoneum. So we have a serous membrane there, and so this, in this mouth here, we have peritoneum, okay? So here we have peritoneum, and so sitting there, and so this mouth, you know, here, and there is the peritoneum at the mouth here, and right in front, I alluded to it, in the abdominal cavity, you have lots of, you know, small loops of small intestine, lots of small intestine. And so you can now see how hernia can take place. Okay, with the increasing abdominal pressure, you know, for whatever reasons, if you increase the abdominal pressure for whatever reasons, then, you know, the little bit of the, you know, the peritoneum can come down, and then following the peritoneum, you may have a small loop of the small intestine. It takes time. It's not in one day or 2 days, okay? Over a long period of time, the little loop of the small intestine. Usually it is a loop of the small intestine, because that is the most freely, you know, available structure, 6 feet of it, you know, all coiled up like worms, you know, in here, okay? And that can come down through there, and you may palpate this as a soft thing in the femoral, you know, triangle, that means, you know, in the subingual region, and you would call that the femoral hernia. femoral hernia because it is in that region. And now, what other differential diagnosis would you have? If you have this, you know, soft thing here, soft bump here, swelling here, what other, you know, what would be your other differential diagnosis that you would, it would go through your head? You, okay, now you think it is femoral hernia, but you're not quite sure. What other things would go through your head? Panis? What did you say?
Infection.
Anybody else? Yes. Swollen lymph nodes, Anybody else? Varicosity of the great saphenous vein, Varicosity of, what would you call it? Saphenous varies. Stacy. Huh?
Christina,
sorry. I'm sorry. Well, I'm allowed to make mistakes. I did tell you. During the retreat, I said, I make mistakes. Here is one of them. Christina. And, well, what I mean is just simple. I didn't mean you to go to the back of what I said, okay? Very simple mistake in the name is what I said. Alright. And so, okay. Now you can see how somebody can have femoral hernia and all these things. And there's one more thing I did not introduce you to the other time when I talked about the saphenous varix is this one here. You have read it in the blue boxes. If you read it in the blue boxes, all this will be there. But one of the reasons, one of the things, is my face,
Don't
not for you. I was asking the students. You're still looking for a PowerPoint?
Yeah.
You don't know. I had the worst time with the computer today. And so, am I slow enough for you? I'll take a break right there. Wait. Okay, so now you're going to be telling me. All right, that is good. Okay, that is good. Somebody has to tell me. Okay, now here, sauce. Abscess. Psoas abscess is the other thing you can differentiate, you know, when you have psoas abscess, okay? And that also is there. So in the subinguinal region, if you have a swelling there, you know, it could be enlarged lymph nodes, it could be saphenous varix, it could be femoral hernia, it could be a psoas abscess. Psoas abscess is written in the blue boxes, so you may have to read that and know that, you know, and include that in your list of, you know, differential diagnosis in this area, possibility. Now, a well-deserved break. I thought I'll take only half an hour. After the break, I'll summarize the whole outline and then we'll move on to the knee joint. And you have to tell me to do anything like that, okay? Good, yeah. From the abdomen. And so here, that is what we call the fascia, this one here, the fascia transversalis, that means transversalis fascia lines the abdomen. When you open up the abdominal cavity, we will be going over some of these things. That means we will do the abdomen, idea of abdominal wall, then we go into the abdominal cavity, we will be looking at the peritoneum, its layers, like that, transversalis fascia, we will go over that, but for the time being, as a physician, you should appreciate that the transversalis fascia is coming right over on into the subinguinal region, that means in the inguinal triangle from the abdomen. And then, it has a posterior layer, so femoral sheath also has a posterior layer, so you have a thorough understanding of how this sheath is formed, how is it sitting there. You remember, this is your pectineus muscle right here. This is the pectineus muscle. And so then right deep to this femoral artery vein, what do you have there? What muscle, you know, do you have there? This is the iliopsoas muscle, and here is pectineus. So the fascia iliaca, or the fascia of the iliopsoas muscle, the fascia of the iliopsoas muscle, so here you have the iliopsoas muscle. As you look at this diagram here, here is the iliopsoas muscle, and you know that would, you know, come right up to there. And so the fascia, you know, every skeletal muscle is wrapped up in a, you know, in a deep fascia, you know, its own fascia. Every muscle, you have noticed that when you were in the thigh, you had to cut through that fascia. So the fascia of the iliopsoas muscle is, you know, this part here that is forming part of the femoral sheath, and the other part of the femoral sheath is formed by your transversalis fascia, and they form that. And so then they come down, then they come down like that, and in between they have structures passing in, into and out of the pelvis, and then they come like that, and they fuse, terminate by fusing over the blood vessels, the major blood vessels, your femoral artery and the femoral vein. In the femoral triangle, they fuse over, you know, the external layer of the femoral, you know, vessels. I'm not going to ask you this detail, like the how are they terminating and things like that. But where is the femoral sheath? Then why am I going over the details so you can understand? You can understand the femoral sheath is not just hanging, dangling there like that, you know, in the femoral triangle. No, it very beautifully, very tightly terminates nicely. And so it is, we don't have any bumps there, do we? Unless we have any lymph nodes there. There are no bumps in the inguinal, you know, region unless there is some, you know, pathology. And so that is the femoral sheath and its contents. And then let's go here. Okay, I have done the femoral sheath. And what else? Because I need to also get... Alright, good. This is the last page of this outline. What structures form the femoral sheath? I have gone over compartments, I have gone over medial, I have gone over femoral canal. Femoral canal. I have gone over that. Now, femoral ring, I have gone over that. And these short forms that I use in class, but I don't know if Dr. Lau, I don't think she allows you to use those short forms on a discussion lab exam. Because double N can look like an M. That, you know, these are the reasons. So in the dissection lab, you have to write A, artery, vein, nerve, write it out. Artery, vein, nerve, muscle, write it out. Okay? In theory, right here, I use all these short forms. So don't go and tell her that because Dr. Thomas uses it and I can use it too. And you can do it too, but in theory, it's fine because, you know, you can see it clearly. Okay? Now, I'm done with this outline. That means the lower limb. Alright. As I promised, since it took so long, 2 minute summarization. We came into the lower limb and we looked at the bones, and you have already looked at the bones. And then, what did you see? You have to see all kinds of prominences and landmarks and pectineal line and pectin pubis and pectineal line of the femur, all those things that you are, you know, differentiating for muscle attachments, you looked at those. And then you looked at the hip joint. What type of a joint is it? What movements are permitted? We have looked at, you know, that and its internal ligaments, two of them. You know, transversus acetabular and the round ligament at the head of the femur, and that brings the blood vessel from the obturator nerve. And how is the head and neck of the, you know, femur supplied? You have seen, you know, from, if everything else, you know, fails, cruciate anastomosis can, and also cruciate anastomosis can come down, but the femoral head and neck would be from your medial and lateral circumflex iliac circumflex femoral arteries and your obturator. And this is summarization. Now you can't stop me. And so then we came down after the bones. And remember the electrotubercle and the lineasphera, those things, all those anatomical landmarks on the bones you will be looking at, and then you have seen the anterior thigh muscles. And you see the flexors of the hip and extensors of the knee joint are in the anterior compartment of the thigh. Okay, and the middle compartment is your adductor compartment. And not all the muscles have the adductor knee, because the gracilis and the pectineus are just helping the regular adductors. And you know most of the adductors, that means all the adductors except the adductor longus can also flex the thigh. Okay, adductor longus doesn't. The other adductors can. And then you have seen that the adductor magnus muscle has little set peculiarities. That means it has a hole in the adductor hiatus and it has an extensor part that is extending innervation from the tibial division of the sciatic nerve, specifically T4. And the adductor part is receiving innervation, of course, from your, you know, obturator nerve. And then you have seen pectineus has two innervations. And you know, the femoral nerve and your obturator nerve, or the accessory obturator nerve. And then we came right into the gluteal region. Three gluteal muscles, maximus, medius, minimus. And pay attention to the maximus, it is innervated by your inferior gluteal nerve. And the medius and minimus by your superior gluteal nerve. And the piriformis is the landmark in the gluteal region. Okay? And that is below that and above that structures. So then you see inferior gluteal, superior gluteal and all. Then you have superior gluteal nerve, and then you have seen piriformis, S1, S2. It's not piriformis. You know, some people say, oh, not piriformis. No. So it is S1 and S2, you know, innervating the piriformis muscle. And then you've seen there are lateral rotators, six of them, plus your gluteus maximus also, you know, does lateral rotation. But what is the main thing of the gluteus maximus? It is the main extensor. It is the main extensor, you know, of the hip joint. But it also laterally rotates along with the piriformis, obturator internus, obturator externus, you know, the superior gemellus, you know, inferior gemellus, okay? And then we came to the posterior compartment of the thigh. And what did you see there? The hamstring muscles with a common origin from the ischial tuberosity. And then you have seen that the biceps femoris muscle has two heads of origin. That means the long head from the ischial tuberosity, the short head from the lineaspora, and the two heads together inserting to the head of the fibula, and so then we have come and done the blood vessels. That means the main artery supply to the lower limb is your femoral artery, continuation of your external iliac artery, and then you see the profunda femoris, and it has several muscular branches, perforating branches and whatnot, but it also has an important medial circumflex femoral, lateral circumflex femoral, you know, arteries going and anastomosing there, and the cruciate anastomosis has four vessels. Okay, first perforating from the profunda femoris and, you know, the branches of the medial circumflex, lateral circumflex and the inferior gluteal. Which is a branch of what? The inferior gluteal is a branch of what? The internal iliac. The other three are daughters, granddaughters of your the external iliac. So in cruciate anastomosis, you have branches of internal iliac and external iliac anastomosing. And cruciate anastomosis can be absent in some people. And then we looked at the veins, and we have seen in the lower extremity you have superficial veins and deep veins. The deep veins, the deep arteries, you know, can have the same veins at the region in which they are traveling. But the superficial veins have different names. Namely, your great saphenous vein is the one we have seen so far. The great saphenous draining beginning from the medial end of the dorsal venous arch, traveling in the subcutaneous tissue on the medial aspect of the leg and the thigh, and joining the femoral vein in the femoral triangle, specifically at the saphenous opening. Okay, and then we went to the gluteal region. You've seen you have inferior gluteal, superior gluteal arteries, both of them are branches of the internal iliac. And then you have also the veins, inferior gluteal, superior gluteal veins, which are, you know, vena comitante. That means two of them will be traveling alongside, like the presidential candidates and all those people have, you know, the people who help them, protectors? Bodyguards, yes. So, and so these vena comitante are like the think of the, you know, bodyguards for these candidates, okay? And so that is vena comitante. And anastomosis, arterial and venous, both anastomosis take place in the gluteal region. Extensive anastomosis is taking place there. And then we came to look at the lymphatics and superficial and deep lymph nodes and vessels. Lymphatics travel, lymph vessels travel along with your veins. And one difference is that the lymph vessels don't have valves. And also the veins don't have lymph nodes. And in the inguinal region, you have both, superficial nodes and deep nodes. And the first set of lymph nodes you find in the longest meat is in the popliteal region, popliteal fossa, which we will be studying a little later today. Today, not, may not be the popliteal fossa, but then you have seen, as a physician, I expect physicians to know, you know, that, you know, when a lymph node is enlarged, from where is it coming? What is the lymphatic drainage to these areas? That's very important. Good diagnostic tool for you. Okay, what are the areas that are draining into superficial inguinal lymph nodes? Superficial lymph nodes are along the inguinal ligament as well as on the lateral aspect of your vasopressor vein. The middle aspect of your vasopressor vein, you have lymph nodes, those are deep ones. And so the superficial inguinal nodes will be draining from the external genitalia, part of the uterus, part of the anal canal, and also from the anterior lateral abdominal wall, and also from the subcutaneous tissue in the gluteal region will be draining into the superficial inguinal lymph nodes. Okay? And then they go into the external lymph nodes. And so then we looked at the nerves, and we've seen in the anterior part of the thigh, you have the femoral nerve, L2-3-4, obturator L2-3-4, in the middle compartment. And you see cutaneous innervation is going to the anterior thigh, medial thigh, from these two nerves, and they have names. And posterior region, you have the superior gluteal nerve and the inferior gluteal nerve, F5, S1 and F5, S1-2. And so then you have the sciatic nerve, L4-5, S1-2-3, dividing into tibial nerve and common fibula or common coronal nerve. And then you have seen, you know, the, what is called your femoral sheath, and you have seen your femoral canal, your adductor canal, all those. And since you are laughing, I think I should stop. And so I have done this outline. And so let's move on to the next outline, which is the knee joint. I have time, you guys, legally I have good time there, so you can't just look on the clock and say that, you know, she kept me there all the time. No, this is legal time. That is how many of you, I think all of you should see certain movies. You should see. I suggest that you see, number one, Paper Chase. Number two, some people may know, Gross Anatomy and Paper Chase and Gross Anatomy. Gross Anatomy maybe first, and then Coma, and then maybe Paper Chase, and then you will know why I am doing what I am doing. And so here, let's move on here to the knee joint. Okay. Okay, good, knee joint. Okay, good. Alright, okay, let's go here. Now, let's go look at this x-ray. I'd like you to observe this x-ray. Now I'm going to ask you some questions after you observe it. Okay, now you observe that knee, that x-ray, and see what you can figure out from that x-ray. So while I get ready, you know, to get, you know, the outline and everything here. Okay? And you have few seconds, about a minute or so you have. Okay. Now from looking at that outline there, that means outline, I meant the x-ray. There. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let me ask you this question here. What is this here? The patella, okay? And what is this here? The lateral epicondyle. And what is this here? The medial epicondyle. So what is this here? The medial condyle. And what is this here? Okay. And what is this here, this part here? Tibial plateau. And so what is this here? Bone projection. That's pretty good, but tibial. tibial prominence. This tibial prominence, you know, interarticular prominence. But at least you recognized all these, what these bones are, and what is this here?
Head of the fibula.
Which bones are articulating to form the knee joint? Which bones are articulating to form the knee joint? Because this is the knee joint, the tibia, and what is this here? The femur. And which parts of the tibia and the femur are forming this joint? Condyles, medial and lateral condyles of both. Tibia and fibula. Is the head of the fibula included in the joint? No. But people make mistakes, that's why I'm asking you. And how about the patella? Is patella included in the articulation here? No. But is it included in the... does the patella articulate with the tibia? No. And is the fibula... No, that you want... So how many articulations are included in the knee joint? Three. This one, and this one, while this is not articulating here, this one is called the femoropatellar articulation. So when we talk about, because it is also included in some of the structures there, so when we talk about how many articulations are in the knee joint, three articulations, okay? But because the patella is articulating only with the femur, but, you know, as it is being a sesamoid bone and whatnot, when you look at it, you know, femoropatellar articulation, and femoral tibial articulations right and left. And so this joint type, because once we say the type, then I don't have to, you know, include a whole lot of things. And what type of a joint is this? It's synovial, but what kind of synovial? Hinge. It's a modified hinge. Hinge joint would have only given you what? Flexion and extension. But this one also has a little bit of gliding and medial and lateral rotation also. Therefore, it is a modified hinge joint. Okay? And in terms of the joint size, how would you put it? When you compare it with the shoulder joint, the hip joint, and the ankle joint, in terms of size, what would you say? This is the medium, large, largest, what? Largest of the, you know, major, you know, joints. And so that is, you know, we have, you know, done those things. And let's move on to, okay, you have done that here. Now we have the stability. This is important for you guys to know. The stability of the knee joint. Is the knee joint a stable joint? Is it a stable joint, you know, compared to some of the other, you know, joints that we have already studied? Is it a stable joint? Why not? Some people said, people at the back, if you didn't hear me, then, you know, they said, it's not a stable joint, and I agree with them. But why do you say it's not a stable joint? Quick. Okay, not muscle, this and that. The two longest bones in the body, are articulating here. The two longest bones, and that's number one. Number two, when you look at it here, look at the tibial plateau. This plateau here is nearly flat, isn't it? Nearly flat, as opposed to when you're seeing, you know, the acetabulum. The acetabulum, remember the acetabulum, you know, is like that, the cup. You know, acetabulum is the cup, it can hold, you know, that head there. But on the other hand here, you know, this one, you know, it's slippery like that, and this one is like that. You see, look, there's no congruity there. So it is not congruent, you see. So here, so you can see, these are the reasons. The articular surface, when you look at the articular surface, the tibial plateaus are, you can see, more or less flat. But are we all walking around with dislocated knee joints?
No.
I'm going to tell the class that, you know, that she shook her head. No, we are not all. I hope I didn't embarrass you, but this is just for fun, okay? And so we are not all walking around with dislocated knee joints. Why not? They are they are unstable. Then why are we not, you know, dislocated? Why are we not going like that? They have so many ligaments and muscles and internal ligaments, intracapsular ligament, all kinds of ligaments and muscles and things that are, you know, making this joint a stable, you know, joint. But, you know, it is. And, you know, naturally, by when you look at it, yes.
What's the benefit of having that tibial plateau, like if it creates so much instability, like why?
It gives you the freedom. It gives you the freedom. You know, it gives you the freedom to flex and extend fully. Other than that, but that plateau, as we go along, you will see, it doesn't stay as such. There are other things we're going to add on, okay? So we will come there. And components we have already gone over. Tibial plateaus, because they stay as tibial plateaus, you know, flat, we have what is called the menisci. We add the menisci. Have you heard the name menisci?
Yes.
Or meniscus? Yeah, you might have. A lot of people would have heard of them because, you know, they're here. You look at them on the surface, on the tibial plateau. So here, and so this is your, you know, this is the anterior part here, and so this is the posterior part here, and on to the tibial plateau you have, yeah, the what is called your menisci added, you know, to the tibial plateau. They are fibrocartilaginous structures sitting right on the plateau that is going to give you the freedom, but also it increases a little bit of the adaptability. It is kind of filling in the gap, you know, between, you know, these two large bones, okay? And so then, femoral condyle, you've seen, you know, it is, you know, just, you know, it is, one is a little bit longer than the other one. And so then we come right down to the fibrous capsule, you know, of the knee joint. Any fibrous capsule, because this is a synovial joint, you know, of the modified hinge type, so it has the fibrous capsule, synovial capsule, and all that. So the fibrous capsule, in other cases, you would know that it, you know, is attaching to the surrounding areas and, you know, enveloping the whole joint. This one doesn't. The fibrous capsule of the knee joint is not complete. It is deficient anteriorly. It's deficient anteriorly. And there is also an opening. Posteriorly, it also has an opening. And I was going to cover with you, you know, the capsule, fibrous capsule, but it looks like we have run out of time. And I thought I could do the entire video today. All right? Okay, I have to tell you this. Okay. Oh, two things. Some of you think that the exam, midterm exam is on the 28th. It's not. It's on the 30th. So it is in the syllabus. When you look at the syllabus, some people think it is, you know, on the 28th of October. No, it's not. It's on the 30th of October. Okay? And so that is one thing. And I don't know what the other thing. I wanted to tell you something advance. Okay, so today is Thursday. I know, I feel like I have to tell you something else. So I'll see you guys on Monday. Okay, good. Thank you. All right.